Okay, let's sing. Number 44. 44. Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone, the close of the day. We all know this one. It's a favorite. Into gypsy boy is being answered today. Tell it again. Tell it again. Salvation story, repeat over and over and over. And that story will be told until the Lord comes. Then you won't hear it again. How many here have ever been to a gospel tent? Put up your hand. Oh boy! Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm very familiar with gospel tent. You know, there's one in Lark Harbor, Newfoundland, right now that is up, and the story's been told there. Wonderful. How many children have heard the wonderful news of salvation? How about a choice this morning? Choice of a hymn. Anybody? Anybody? What?
32.
Okay, 32 it is. What can one
shall weigh my sin? Nothing but the blood.
Jesus. Quite a few years ago, many years ago, I was in the Nova Scotia tent, and a brother, Norman Berry, probably most of you would remember, and he gave me some advice. And he said, Al, he says, when you get up in the podium there to speak, he says, the first thing I want you to do is open your Bible. Good advice? It is. And then the next thing I want you to do is to announce the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Good advice? Yes, it is. And then I want you to speak of the cross. The cross, where the Lord Jesus was crucified on Calvary's cross for you and I. And then I want you to tell about sin. 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 So as we look around the room, we have to quote that well-known verse in Romans 3:23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's only one remedy for sin, and that is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you a story. We lived in a little fishing village called Frenchman's Cove in Newfoundland. And we had children's meeting in our home. Our basement was usually quite full. Thursday night, Friday night, and Sunday, late Sunday afternoon, we had children's meetings. And most of our children came from Frenchman's Cove and Benoit's Cove and John's Beach. And we had a very nice time. Many of the boys and girls heard the wonderful news of salvation. Where are they today? Oh, I trust I'll see most of them in heaven. I trust. Let me tell you about Emily. Emily was probably about 10 years old. And She came to the hobby class in Sunday school. But this particular day, we had trouble with the kids. They were unruly, and they were just carrying on something fierce. We picked them up in Benoit's Cove, and we brought them to our house. And they were just screaming and yelling in the van. And then all through the meeting, it was just bedlam. We just had a horrible time. We couldn't keep the kids still and couldn't keep them from listening. You know, it's very important to listen to the Word of God, isn't it? Well, we brought them back home, and we dropped them off. And I'll tell you, we were very discouraged. We just felt terrible on the way home. And, it was really hard. But we hadn't dropped Emily off yet. And she was on the way home. And we were talking about how bad it was on the bus and that. And then little Emily pipes up in the back seat and she said, "Mr. Coleman, I wasn't bad today, was I?" I said, "No, Emily, you weren't. You were good. And thank you." And then she said this. She said, "Mr. Coleman, I've asked the Lord Jesus to save me." Well, you know, we were floating up in the clouds for the rest of the way home. You know something? There was a young boy by the name of Joey O'Connell, his name was. And he had two sisters, and Susie O'Connell and Gloria O'Connell. They were cute little girls that we had in our hobby class. And Joey was the ringleader. He just tried everything to just mess up everything. And finally I had to say, "Joey, you know, I can't take you in Sunday school anymore. I can't. You're just making a horrible time of it for the rest of us." And so I didn't bring Joey. Well, you know, one day, not too long after that, Joey went out to the shed, and there was this caduce in the shed, and they have a rope coming down, and they hold the back end of the skidoo up. Joey hung himself. He hung himself. He died. And little Gloria O'Connell, she went out there and didn't even know what was going on out there, and she found her brother dead. Sad situation. Well, that's the story of Emily. And I'm going to see Emily in heaven. And you look around the room, and how many am I going to see in heaven? I trust all little boys, little girls. We got a verse to say this morning. What is it? Are we all going to say it? You're going to say it? Good. And you're going to say it? Okay. All right. What is the verse? Well, let's look at the message of love. Oh, did I leave it there? No. Philippians 4:19. "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Let's all say it. "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Boy, I look back in my life and I say, wow, that He has supplied everything in my life. How? What a wonderful Savior, looking after me and caring for me every day of my life. My God has supplied everything for my life. Okay, who's going to say it? Okay, go ahead. Okay, thank you. Good. You can say it too? Attaboy.
"My God shall supply all my needs."
Good.
"My God shall supply all my needs."
Ooh, thank you very much. All right.
"My God shall supply all
anyone need according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Okay.
Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19.
What is the greatest need that I would ever need? The greatest need that I would ever need. What do you think it is?
To be saved.
To be saved. To be saved. That's great. That's wonderful. To be saved. That is our greatest need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let's look at a few verses from the Word of God today. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5, just at the end of the verse. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that beautiful? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I look back in my life and I see this is so. I failed him so many, many times, but he has never failed me. Think of that. How wonderful. And so I'm getting to be, well, I don't want to say it, but I'm getting to be an old man. I just had my 80th birthday. And it's wonderful. I look back on my life and say, everything in my life, he never forsook me once. Never forsook me once. You know, but one of the things that I want to say this morning is this, is that when I was a child, I grew up in a Sunday school. And sure, I said my verse. I read my Bible. And I listened to my dad. And but, you know, I wasn't interested. Not interested at all. And so I grew up. I never thought about the Lord. And I got out into the world and I did all kinds of bad, bad things. If you hadn't known me then, you probably would have said, forget it. No, he's too bad. And that's what I was. I was. I was one of the worst persons that you could think of. But you know, right now, tonight, who is standing before you is one of the trophies of God's wondrous grace. He saved me. You know, there was a sister in our meeting in Vancouver, and she said, looked at me and she said, Al, if God can save you, there's hope for my son. And her son is still gathered to the Lord's name in Richmond. There's hope for you if you're not saved. I want to tell you this one thing, and it's so very, very important. I wasn't saved until I was 24 years old, and those were wasted years, absolutely wasted years, when I could have been into this precious Word of God and reading it, memorizing verses, and walking the life of faith unto God. And there were wasted years, and I missed that. And so you might say, when it comes to the scriptures, I had to catch up because I wasted all those years. And how precious it is. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a God that we have. An all the way home Savior. Brother Philip Gladding, anybody ever know or remember him? Okay. He gave me some verses, and I want to just pass them on to you. First of all, in Hebrews here it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same yesterday, he went to Calvary's cross. The same today, who cares for us? And the same, the one we're going to spend an eternity with. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday. Joshua 23. Joshua 23 and verse 14. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath. I want you to especially note that word hath. Failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. He faileth not. And then, that's the past. Present, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is. Note that word, is. Today, with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Go back one verse. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. That's the formula, isn't it, for this life of faith that we have. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. This should be your constant companion, this precious word of God. He is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, we want prosperity in our life, don't we? And this is the formula for it, the precious word of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 20. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy my God will be with thee. Underline will. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. That was written to Solomon. And we can take it for ourselves. He will be with thee. You know, I don't know what the future holds for me, but I know that the Lord will be with me. And that's so comforting to know. Now I'm going to tell you a story. My wife and I, about 3 or 4 months ago, we had to do some shopping, okay? And the problem was, it was a cold, rainy morning, and the rain was just coming down. And so we got out of our apartment, and we headed for our car, and we really hoofed it to get to our car so that we wouldn't get too wet, right? Now, on the way out, there was a box on the lawn. A box about like that. And somebody dropped their garbage on the lawn. You know, it's a common expression, don't be a litter bug. And this is exactly probably what happened. There was this box, and the lid was partly closed. And so we hurried by, heading for the car, and I stopped because I heard a little whimper. And I looked into that box like that, and there was a guinea pig. A guinea pig. And that thing was soaking wet and cold. you know, I in our apartment, I can't have animals. They won't allow animals in our apartment. So I said, well, you know, what can I do? And you know, that's what happened. Somebody just said, well, I'm just going to get rid of this and I'll dump it anywhere. What a heartless thing to do to a little animal. So I went to the car and I got in my car and I was just sort of sitting there for a minute. I mean, what can I do? There's the little guinea pig and it's cold, it's wet, and it's whimpering away. So what I did was I went back and I sort of kicked the box over so that the guinea pig could get out. And that little guinea pig got out. And he very smartly, I guess animal instinct, he headed for a big hedge up there, eh? He headed for this big hedge. And you know what happened? One, two, three, four, five baby guinea pigs followed me. Five of them. I was just dumbfounded. Here's this mother guinea pig and five little pigs. And they headed for under the bush, and the mother stood guard in the bush, and the little babies were in there. And so we went shopping, and we came back, and the guinea pig was still there. I mean, what can we do, eh? So we did. We phoned the SPCA, and they shooed him out of the out from under the bush, and that. I'm going to read a verse. Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49 and verse 15. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Isn't that a beautiful verse? I'll never forget you. The person that had this guinea pig dumped the guinea pig so he could forget all about it. You know what it says next? Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Our names on the palm of his hand, eternity will not erase. Impressed on his heart they remain in marks of indelible grace. You know, this is so special to me. They dropped that guinea pig. And this verse says, yet I will never forget thee. They wanted to forget all about that guinea pig. But you know, Lord Jesus Christ, I'll never forget you. Never, never forget you. And then he says, behold, I have graven thee on the palms of my hands. And I think of that, how beautiful that is. That blessed one, the Lord Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, they put those nails in his hand. I was just sort of meditating on this morning. When they put those nails in his hand, did the Lord say, what are you trying to do? You can't have that hand of mine and nail it. Is that what he says? No, he didn't say that. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. The Lord Jesus never said anything. He allowed man to put those nails in his hands. And they took and nailed him to that cross. You know, we've often heard this expression. It wasn't the nails that held him there on that cross. It was love to you and I. those nails is not what held him on that cross. He loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. He could see how sinful we were. And he went willingly to that cross to die for you and I. And I think of him on those dark hours on Calvary's cross there. And how he could cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I think of how much he suffered from the hands of men, those nails that they put in his hands and in his feet. What a God we have. Do you know this wonderful God, this wonderful Savior? This same Savior is saying to you this morning, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. He's inviting lost, guilty sinners to come to him this morning. We had a gospel last night. Did you go through a gospel meeting without Christ? You know, for 24 years, I went to a gospel meeting and never accepted Christ as my Savior. 24 years! You probably saying to me, you should have been ashamed of yourself. And I am. I am ashamed of my past life. But I am also rejoicing that the Lord Jesus saved me and put me on the heavenly road that leads to the glory. What a Savior. What a wonderful person. This is the one that we're going to spend an eternity with in that coming scene of glory. How near is the Lord's coming? How near? How near? Oh, I believe that moment is not very far off. When I look at this old world that we're living in today, when everything about God is being erased, schools, governments, everywhere, don't mention the name of God. It's just a little taste of what it's going to be after the Lord comes. Absolute, complete apostasy, erase of the name of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, here this morning, it's, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I'm going to tell you another story. Would you like a Newfoundland story? The Despatch. It was a schooner, and it was 1835, and it was heading for Boston with 176 passengers. And it came down the south coast of Newfoundland. Now, to explain, the south coast of Newfoundland is notorious for wrecked ships, rocks, storms. Boy, we could get some real storms there. And the captain of the Despatch saw the ray of the Cape Ray Lighthouse. He could see it. And so he steered for the Cape Ray Lighthouse. There was also another lighthouse at Port of Ask. And he steered to the wrong lighthouse. What happened? Right at the little village of Isle of Mort, where I've spent so much time, and there's a dear sister that living there. That boat went on the rocks. And those 176 passengers were doomed. There was no hope for them. 176 passengers. There was a young girl by the name of Ann Harvey, and she lived in Isle of Mort, and she liked to go down the beach and get, you know, little things that she could find in the beach. And while she was on the beach, she noticed a flare go up. uh-oh. And this happened probably quite a few times. So Anne ran home to her father and she says, "Father, there's a boat out in the rocks." Well, Mr. Harvey got in his dory and he got a whole pile of rope and he put his dog in the boat and his son and Anne, and they rowed out. Well, it could only go so far because it was so rough. And you know what they did? They had a Newfoundland dog by the name of Hairy Man. And you know, a Newfoundland dog has a real web feet and he can really swim, a strong swimmer. And they're big and they can take the cold water. And so what they did is they got and put a rope in Hairy Man's mouth and they said, "Go to the wreck." And Hairy Man took that rope and he swam to that boat. And I'm telling you, it was tough going. Quite a few times you could see him bob under the water. But he made it to that boat. And they tied, got that rope, and they tied it, and then they came back. Hairy Man came back with another rope and tied it to shore. And then they put what they call a breeches buoy on that rope. And you know that 176 passengers were saved that day, all because of a Newfoundland dog. You know, those passengers were so happy. And the whole village of Isle of Mort went out and opened all their homes to the passengers and fed them, and they were there for about 2 weeks before they all went. And King George the Fifth, I think it was, gave the whole town of Isle of Mort a citation for their heroic work. Do you think those passengers were thankful? They were doomed to die. And you know, if you are without Christ this morning, you're doomed to die. Die without Christ. And it's a solemn thing to face eternity without Christ. And so I urge everyone here this morning that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their own Savior, that they would come tonight, this morning, and ask the Lord Jesus to save them. I got one last thing I want to do before I close. You know, I love giving out gospel tracts. And so I'm going to give, there's only three or four children. Okay, I'm going to give you a gospel tract, okay? And I'm going to give you one. And I'm going to give you one. And you one. Had a girl. And you one. Anybody want one? Okay. How about it, boys? Okay? Thank you. There you are. Thank you. That a girl. Now you got a gospel tract. What are we going to do with those tracts? Pardon?
Read them.
Okay. Okay.
And believe what they say.
You what?
And believe what they say.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, we got some customer down here. Where? Oh boy. Okay. On. Okay. Here. Here's a whole row of them. Where? Okay, gotcha. Thank you. Okay. That a girl. That's it. Now, I've given these gospel tracts out for a purpose. You've got a gospel tract in your hand. You know what I want you to do with them? I want you to give to your friend that you play with, to your schoolmate, to your office mate, whoever. Give it to them. Let them have this precious word of God. You know, when I'm giving out tracts, the first one I give out is always the hardest because it takes the most courage to give out that gospel tract to the first person. After that, you're broken the ice and it seems easier. And you can give out more and more and more and more. And so, boys and girls, I want you to learn to share the precious word of God with those around you, with your schoolmate, with your friend, whatever. Because in these gospel tracts is the way of salvation, Bible verses, and God can use them. God can use even a little boy like you and like you. He can use you. And so this is a rewarding thing to do, to give out the precious word of God to whosoever will. You know, it's wonderful. It says, whosoever will may come. I think we do have that song on our song sheet, don't we? Yeah.
16.
Huh?
16.
Good, thank you. 16. Okay, that's good. Whosoever... blessing on his word. Loving Father, we thank thee for that precious word, whosoever will may come. We think of how, loving Father, that still thine arms are outstretched to this world. And we hear from thy precious word, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We pray this morning that if there's a child or an adult here this morning that have not come, that they might come this morning before it's forever too late. We thank thee for thy long-suffering heart of mercy lingering over this world, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we think of the wonderful gospel that is still going out. We just pray that in these last closing days that many souls might be saved. And we pray for these gospel tracts also, Father, that Thou would use them for Thy glory and the blessing of souls. We commit this all to Thee with thanksgiving to Thee, Lord Jesus, in Thy precious and worthy name. Amen.